Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Well, we're stepping into an arena today that I'm sure all of us just, whenever we think about it, we sort of go, ooh, I don't know that I want to do this. And what is that arena of experience? It is seeing an attorney. Ah, yes. Well, all of us at one time or another are going to have that experience. And of course, there's a tremendous diversity in an attorney's niche, you might say. And so the first time you ever do it, or you have a situation that requires legal assistance, you often are influenced by many things that you have heard about from different people. Well, we've got a very interesting guest today. His name is Ben Glass. He is an attorney, but he has done something that I've not known many attorneys to really talk about much publicly. And what is that? It's the truth about lawyer advertising. How many of you have seen these commercials that say, don't worry about dealing with the IRS. Come to me. I'll take care of everything for you. If you have this condition or that condition or the other condition, we're doing this for you. Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting into a subject matter that usually is not talked about very, very often, especially by attorneys. Hi, Ben. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Donna, for having me on. It's a great day here in the Northern Virginia area, and I'm happy to be here with your guests.
Delighted to have you. Ben, you yourself are an attorney. You're a man that has been involved with insurance companies. And I know some people, when they hear that, their toes are going to start to curl. But you have been board certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. You are listed in the best lawyers in America. You talk to your fellow attorneys in various conferences. And you've written a number of different books regarding this. I know that every time I see these promotions, and this is just me, anytime I see this stuff on television, or I look at a bus going by that's got a big sign, big settlement, call me, I just shake my head. Why did you decide to go public with information on this? I bet you there's a lot of attorneys out there that don't like you're doing this.
There are, but there are a lot who really think like I do about this and who appreciate the work that I'm doing. And here, I mean, I've been practicing for 29 years, and what I discovered was it is just as you described. Folks get something happens in their life. They decide they need to file for bankruptcy. They find their spouse is cheating on them. They get arrested for DUI. They get in an accident. And all of a sudden, they are thrust from their world into our world. It's not like, when you start to plan to buy a new TV or a new car, you kind of think about it a while, and you kind of get happy about going out. Well, usually, something happens, and all of a sudden now, you're thrust into a world where you got to go try to find a lawyer. That's not often a pleasant experience that brings you there. And where do you even start to turn? And so what we discovered over the years is our best clients, the folks that we really like to work with, are folks who will take the time to educate themselves about their problem and who will take the time to educate themselves about which attorney in the community is a respected attorney. And so we fall on the side of good consumer information because it works good for us, because a well-educated client is a great client for us, but we also think it helps match good people to the right lawyers for them.
Now, I can recall a phrase, ambulance chasers, that was used relative to certain attorneys. And whenever something would come up on the news, it's just like they would show up somewhere. They're always looking. I call it victimizing people when they're at the most vulnerable point. And right in the beginning of your book, which is titled The Truth About Lawyer Advertising, you say, this book is meant to increase your odds of finding the right lawyer for your case, and it's sure a heck of a lot better than simply responding to the attorney who buys the most TV ad time, plasters his picture on the back of every bus, or who shows up at your house or hospital room after an accident claiming to have been called by a friend. And I have known some absolutely marvelous attorneys. I've also known shysters that just are typical, but that's in every industry.
Yes.
So frequently in the legal industry, there's no honesty about this. There is not an open communication. And you're one of those rare ones that's coming out and saying, look, I want you to become educated. So when you make your choice, I'm not asking you to come to me. I'm asking you to become educated. And that is why I was so interested in having you on the show, because we all are going to have to use an attorney's services. And I know that my family has been very fortunate in being able to work with some people that had tremendous ethics. And yet it has been very sad for me to hear from these very same people the concern they have about their own industry and the lack of ethics, and especially all of this advertising hype. Now, that used to be illegal, correct?
It wasn't until 1976, actually, when lawyers were allowed to start advertising. And what that did, actually, is it helped make law services more accessible to the public, and it actually helped lower prices. Because before that, since there wasn't any advertising and no real good way to kind of figure out what everyone charged, it was almost a conspiracy of set fees. And often, you know, we have to say that most lawyers around the country are good people. They're running great businesses in their community, and they're good. They're good at something. And what we're really trying to do is help match up if it's you and your legal issue, with the best attorney for your problem. And there's a certain methodology, certain, I think, websites that are more trustworthy than others. And there's some real things that you need to watch out for, because they are way over that end of the scale where it's one step from shysterism.
Now, you have a page where you just list all kinds of myths. And one of the myths is, and I found this fascinating, that the myth is that all lawyers will carry legal malpractice insurance. If a lawyer advertises that he accepts certain types of cases, he actually has experience with those kinds of cases. And, boy, if they advertise on TV, they've got to be successful. Otherwise, how could they afford the advertising dollars? And also, when you go to Internet Find a Lawyer directory, this was a big one. The only reason those attorneys are listed there is because they've been screened. Tell us why these myths need to be gotten rid of.
Well, so many times when you're watching a TV commercial, for example, and it's about what we would call a mass disaster, so asbestosis or certain drugs that have been recalled, the TV ad will have in the fine print that you can hardly read, words to the effect of, the lawyer running the ad is in Texas or Louisiana, and he's not going to actually be handling the case, and he's going to be referring the case out to other lawyers, which is okay if you know all about that. But if you're hiring a lawyer thinking that he or she is going to be the one to represent you, then all I'm saying is that should be disclosed right up front. And what you see is, some lawyers now with money will run those ads purely to get the cases in, to refer them out in exchange for a referral fee. So if you think you're hiring the lawyer in your hometown, but now your case is actually being handled across the country, that might be okay with you. And all I'm arguing for is that needs to be made much clearer. And as a consumer, you need to know to ask that question. Who will actually be working on my case? You know, another one of the myths is there's no end today to the number of websites on the internet that claim to be a directory of exclusive lawyers or approved lawyers or experienced lawyers. I get about 3 emails a day from those directories asking me to participate. Now, I am experienced in certain areas of the law, but those emails to me don't differentiate. And oftentimes, the only real qualifier to be listed as a, quote, exclusive attorney in a particular county is to have a working credit card and an active bar card, a license to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all I'm saying is there's no real vetting. So the website is saying, we've checked these people out. I'm telling you, all they've checked out is whether I have a credit card and a license. Now, on the other hand, there are some more reputable websites that have sort of lawyer ratings and rankings, and they get their list of lawyers by conducting surveys to lawyers in the community, to judges in the community, and to sort of other community leaders. So you've got a better chance if you see a lawyer like at Avvo, AVVO.com, who's got a rating of a 9 or a 10, that's a pretty good indication that that lawyer is respected in the community. Now, lawyer disclaimer, you're not going to want to use any one resource to pick your lawyer. But what we're trying to help people do is let's narrow the field, because as you pointed out and observed, there's a ton of us out here, right? There's
absolutely.
You can be at the gym and there's a lawyer out on each of the 3 flat screen TVs, in front of your treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to narrow the choices for you, so that you don't get in the hands of someone who maybe doesn't have malpractice insurance. And most states, it's not a requirement. And the travesty is there's no real requirement that you tell the client that you don't have malpractice insurance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't drive without car insurance. So we're trying to educate consumers to ask the right questions. And here's the real neat thing, is that the good lawyers, they don't mind those questions. So if you ask them about their experience, their other cases, whether they're board certified, whether they're listed on Super Lawyers or Best Lawyers in America, they're happy to tell you that. And there's a silver bullet question that we can talk about that I think is just a killer question you need to ask every lawyer before you hire them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. You were talking in your book, you were discussing, and I share a story, discussing something with a fellow attorney, and it had to do with an automobile accident. He said, boy, it had great damages, and he was willing to let you try the case for him for a portion of the fee. And in this story, which I found very, very interesting, you went over the file. The accident happened 6 years ago. The lawyer had represented the victim for 5 years. The trial was in 60 days. There were no photographs of the vehicle's accident scene. The defendant's deposition hadn't been taken, and the lawyer's own client had been deposed, and he'd never talked to the doctors about the case. And I go, 5 years he had a person paying him during this time, and then he wanted to hand this case over to you. How did you respond to that?
Well, I was not going to touch a disaster waiting to happen and have my name associated with it. And it really kind of puts us in a really tough situation, because what you'd like to do is sort of strangle the lawyer but also tell the client, but you kind of have to leave the client and the lawyer to themselves. That's one of the reasons that in my practice, for example, we've published a number of consumer guides. One of those consumer guides is about automobile accident cases. And so we talk about the whole process and how long it should take and what your responsibility as a client is and what my job is and what we'll be doing. And if a consumer has that, then he can use that as sort of a benchmark and say, well, gee, 5 years, that's really too long. Because the lawyer was probably telling his client, oh, this is just routine. Well, it's not routine in most places. It's certainly not routine in Virginia. And so, again, one of the things that we teach consumers to ask for before they hire a lawyer is, give me your consumer information. So have you written a book about the processes and the procedures? Do you have a CD or a DVD I can watch? And we just have a ton of this. And lawyers all over the country who sort of listen to me and follow my advice are doing this more and more, where they really have consumer awareness packages that they give out right at the beginning of a relationship, so that you can actually meet the lawyer in the comfort of your own home, you know, on your DVD, on your TV with your DVD playing, rather than have them show up. So again, this is all about researching. You know, the sad thing, Donna, is that most people research their new refrigerator more than they research their lawyer. So they'll go to Consumer Reports, they may go to Amazon, see how many stars it is, they'll look at review sites. Well, we're introducing people to that that process for lawyers.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. There are certain steps that people can take if they have need of an attorney. And you outline this very, very nicely in your book, The Truth About Lawyer Advertising. And when someone has a legal challenge, I think of a woman that got involved with, I'll call him a shuckster, and as it turned out, this person was in another state. Now, she really hadn't thought it through what it would be, and this person had come highly recommended and cost her tens of thousands of dollars. She really paid big time to this person. She was advised, go find an attorney. Well, what she found is trying to get an attorney in another state to represent her, to perhaps try to get the money back from the person, from the huckster, it was going to end up costing her an outrageous sum of money. So she ended up not going after a person legally because she just wasn't in the position to do that. Not only that, she did not know an attorney that was going to represent her. She had talked to a couple of people in the other state, and she felt like she was really getting into shark-infested waters. So you have this scenario. You have someone that's got a medical issue, a malpractice issue. You have someone that you mentioned with the automobile. All of these variables, this is something I don't think anyone can take lightly, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. And this is something people need to know about. And attorneys, often the ones that I found that were really front and ethical, were willing to have a consultation with you. And I remember a personal experience of my own many years ago, where my husband and I went to an attorney that was in our local area. There was a particular situation we were dealing with. And this man was so honest with us. He said, yes, we could start with this procedure. We could go through X, Y, Z. And he said, yes, this is how much you would pay me an hour. Is it valid what you have? Yes, it is. It is a very valid positioning, but you need to know this. Because of this environment, and this environment, it's going to be at least 5 years before this will be resolved. And by the time that five-year period is finished, I think it's a waste of your money. And we were both stunned. Here was an attorney. We were coming in, and he said, I will be happy to take the case if you want me to do it. But you don't have deep pockets, and that's what this is going to take. It was involving the state and certain rulings. Now, someone might hear that and say, oh, my goodness, you should have been able to do it. But this man said, it's going to take years. This is not something that's handled right away. Now, we were so appreciative, and we really had a big conversation about it. But he gave us his time in that meeting, and he was totally totally honest about the whole thing, and proved to be right.
Well, here's what you'll find is that, by and large, the experienced attorneys with great practices and a long line of people waiting to get in to see them will act just as that attorney did. They're not afraid to say, look, this may turn out to be expensive. It may turn out to take longer than you're willing to go. And because of the law, you might not, get the result that you want to. Now, contrast that with the lawyer who advertises, been in an accident, quick settlement, 30 days or less, no office appointment, and we'll come to the hospital to sign you up. That's your typical, you use the phrase ambulance chaser. That's the lawyer who typically doesn't have a well-developed practice, isn't respected in the community, has to, in essence, go out and chase clients and really is relying on the ability to sign up almost every one of those and then settle them for a little bit of money. So that's kind of another sign that consumers can use. If you're talking to a lawyer and they seem overeager to take your case, it may be because they don't have a lot of cases and they aren't making a lot of money. On the other hand, in the malpractice world, we probably talk to 19 people and turn them away for every 20 who come here and only take one case because we are busy, we are successful, we're careful with what we're going to accept, and with the other 19 people, we're going to have that conversation that you had with that lawyer, which is honest, this just isn't really going to work out well for you type conversation.
Right, and I think, to me, that integrity is very important. I think that is extremely important. Now, you bring out a couple of cases that actually went to the Supreme Court of different states. You have one about Arizona and one about Indiana. And the one about the Indiana Supreme Court, there were ads that featured an actor, Robert Vaughn. He's very famous. And there were attorneys James and Jack Keller. And why was this case so important?
Well, there were a series of ads that were running that have mainly been modified now as we're doing this program in 2013. But what the ads suggested was that merely because you hire a certain law firm, the insurance company will settle the case. They'll settle at the mere sound of our name. And the reason those ads are misleading is that every case is actually different. But you would think most people would know that, but still lawyers were running ads that suggested that because you hire us, we're going to win your case for you. And truth be told, I guess there were some consumers who believe, who don't do research, or maybe themselves looking for a quick buck, who think, well, if I hire this firm, it's a guarantee that I'm going to get a settlement. And so in that case, I think it was Indiana, said those ads were misleading. You can't say that just because you hire us, we're going to win. The Arizona case was very interesting because the lawyers in that firm were running ads showing them walking to the courthouse, in the courtroom, where actually they had a firm policy of never, ever going to trial.
Oh, my heaven.
Yeah, and so when the insurance company knows that your lawyer will never, ever go to trial, the settlements get lower and lower and lower. And what that firm was doing was, if it got close to a time where they needed to go to trial, then they would refer the case out. Again, there's nothing, if that's told to you up front and you understand that, that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But their ads suggested that their firm was an aggressive trial litigation firm, and they were everything but.
Let's talk about the National Board of Trial Advocacy. What is it, and why is it significant as an organization?
Sure. Well, first of all, in various states, but not every state, there are board certification processes. So if you think about the analogy now to the medical side, most people are aware and familiar that a surgeon who has a certain number of years of training and does certain testing will become board certified. And you would always pick a board certified surgeon over a non-board certified surgeon because that surgeon has had to demonstrate a high level of competence. Well, what many people don't realize is that both on the national level, National Board of Trial Advocacy, and in many states, there's a certification process. So, for example, at the national level, in order to become board certified, you have to submit to the board the number of cases you've done and some of the results you've achieved, and show a history of real experience. But more than that, you have to give them names of lawyers that you've gone up against and judges that you have been in front of, and those they then contact the lawyers and the judges. And confidentially, those lawyers and judges are reporting, yes, this person is of a high quality level, and he's also ethical. So that's a real strong vetting process. And you have to show you have malpractice insurance, and you have to show that you haven't been in trouble with the ethics committees of your state bar. And there's a small percentage of lawyers who actually achieve that status. Again, we would never use any one strategy that I talk about to pick the lawyer for you. There's certainly, you can certainly find a non-board certified lawyer who might be perfect for your situation, okay? But when you take all of these things as a whole, is he board certified? Is she listed in Best Lawyers in America, which is another site that interviews other lawyers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you put all these things together, you are increasing your chances of getting a great lawyer. You know, just because you go to a board-certified surgeon doesn't mean that a mistake won't be made, but you reduce your chances of a horrible outcome.
You also talk about a Martindale-Hubbell rating, and I'd never heard of this, but it's a directory of attorneys, and I was surprised to find out that they contact more than 400,000 individuals to confirm ratings for over 115,000 attorneys.
Yes.
Now, those are big numbers.
Those are big numbers. And again, back in the old days, when I started almost 30 years ago, the Martindale-Hubbell directory was a big shelf of books. And so if a lawyer needed to find a lawyer in another state, he would go to this directory, and there were ratings for all the lawyers. And again, what's important here is that the ratings are based upon surveys with the lawyers in the community, and these are all confidential surveys. And I can tell you that not everyone is rated the highest. So we move forward now to 2013. A lot of this is online. There's Martindale-Hubbell runs its own internet sort of directory. But again, they don't say, Ben, do you have a Visa card that works? They ask my peers in the community, and they do this every single year, or once you're in, they do it every couple of years, is this lawyer still meeting the high levels in both ability and in ethical standards? And so you'll see at their site, they describe what their different sort of badges or denominations actually mean. But it is one of the granddaddies of lawyer ratings in the United States, and widely reputed to be very dependable.
Well, Mr. Ben Glass, this book is just absolutely amazing. You list websites on the inside of what people should avoid even researching on because they are just not cracked up to what they should be. And also, people can go to benglasslaw.com and find out more about your book. This one that we've been discussing today is The Truth About Lawyer Advertising. And I think all of us need to be alert and aware. And we, my goodness, in today's world, it's even more complex. We have so much information thrown at us. And this book, The Truth About Lawyer Advertising, is a big eye-opener. So I recommend it highly. And Ben Glass, I'm so delighted that you've been my guest. BenGlassLaw.com is a site you can go to. Thank you for being my guest today.
Yes, ma'am. We are so concerned that this be made available that it's actually for free at the website. It's a free download, and we'd love to get feedback, but anyone can go there and get it, and we just ask that you use it if you need a lawyer.
Oh, this is wonderful. That was a surprise. So you can get a free copy of what we were just discussing, The Truth About Lawyer Advertising. Lynn Glass, thank you so very much for being my guest today. I look forward to receiving other materials when you come out with it. Have a magnificent day.
Sure.
And thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share. We'll be right back.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Visit Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. That's 888-627-6008. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Oh, my goodness. We have had the most awesome weather here in the Pacific Northwest. It has been absolutely delightful. And we've had no rain. Woohoo! Haven't had to get out the kayaks this summer. It is just delightful. And I have the most wonderful photograph in front of me of what I would call purple daisies. And they just have these bright yellow centers in them, and the most exquisite butterflies are on these beautiful flowers. And along with it, by Pablo Neruda, is the statement, "Green was the silence, wet was the light, the month of June trembled like a butterfly." Beautiful, beautiful words. This is an absolutely awesome time of the year, and I've got a bunch of good things to share with you today, and I'm so delighted that you have joined me. And I wanted to let you know about the guests coming up tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Dan Torres. This is an entrepreneur, an inventor, and we're going to be discussing his accomplishments, of also his very special story about how he has developed a food that is meant to help you, and it came about because of his mom, so you'll be able to hear that story. Dr. Braun is going to be with me on Wednesday, reluctantly related. Ah, yes, oh, yes, the stories of the mother-in-laws, the daughter-in-laws, and all the kinds of stories. How many comedy shows have done a spinoff on that? Well, we'll find out how to work out that scenario. And then Penny Pierce, her book, Leap of Perception. Now, this is a woman who's very intuitive, and this is what her book is all about. Also, we're going to be talking about the Phoenix Success Strategy by W.L. Blaney. Now, W.L. was a very interesting man. Can you imagine being in your 60s, having everything destroyed, everything taken away from you, and a pair of scissors, one pair of scissors, turns your life around? Well, you'll have to tune in on Friday to find out more about that. Summertime, oh my goodness, are you seeing garage sales all over the place? Yes, I am. In our neighborhood, we have had a number of people put a little sign out in front, garage sale. And I always chuckle with these signs because they just are not very organized. Someone takes a piece of cardboard and just says garage sale and puts it up. And the amount of people that stop, it's always amazing. And garage sales, you can find some real treasures. And often the saying, what is somebody else's junk is someone else's gold, really applies here. And I know we've acquired some acquisitions through the years that people just didn't want certain things anymore. Now, I'm not a big garage sale person, but I've got some tips for you. You have to have time to do this. And I know of some friends. They love it. It's the highlight of their weekend during the summer. They just love to go. And they get on their comfortable walking shoes, and sometimes if things are listed in the newspaper, then they say, okay, we're going to start off, and they get up early in the morning. And they're at the garage sales right when they're ready to start. Well, apparently, and this there's some various individuals that have some tips to share regarding this. There is a woman by the name of Carrie Cuxey, and she says, if you have something specific in mind that you're looking for, well, no matter what it is, you want to get there early. You want to be one of the first people going in to see what's there. Or you also may want to come in right at the very end of the day if you're looking to get the best bargain, because many times at the end of a day at a garage sale, the people are willing to negotiate, and you can haggle, and you can maybe get an item for a best price. So you've got two different positionings here, and it's just absolutely wonderful. She said when it comes to getting furniture, big pieces of furniture, they don't want to have to move them around, so often they will go down 20, sometimes as much as 75%. So that they don't have to deal with this anymore. And also, what Carrie said is that you need to be willing to chat with people. Find out if there's any stories behind items that are on sale. How long have you been doing it? Where do the linens come from? What is it that is so special about this? Is there a story behind it? Has it been in your family a long time? And also, there is a suggestion about asking, is this the best price that I can get for this item? Now, I'll tell you, sometimes when people are doing garage sales, they just detest this when they already have the prices on something and people want to haggle over it. But if you're the one doing the selling, don't worry about it. Just put a smile on your face and say, that's the price we're asking at this time. It's worth more. But this is what we want. So you can always be very gracious if you're the seller trying to get rid of something. And always check boxes under a table. She said, this is something that you need to do. You need to look for those items that maybe are tucked away. And I'll never forget watching an Antiques Roadshow. And there was a woman that absolutely had a passion for costume jewelry. Now, she said she always liked the gaudy items, and she happened to find at a garage sale this box that was filled with all kinds of stuff. And the gal evaluated, she ended up with about $5,000 of costume jewelry that most people today wouldn't be caught dead wearing, but because they were quite old, they'd come maybe from the 50s and 60s, they were worth a lot of money. And this woman was stunned. She had so much fun. She just had this collection that she had acquired just from going around to garage sales. Also, when you buy more than one item at a sale, often people will be happy to give you a bundle price. That's a key word, bundling. And you also need to carry with you when you go to a garage sale, you need to use a tape measure, flashlight, and just, you know, be prepared. And you can also use your cell phone if you want to take a picture of something, if it grabs your attention. And you can compare prices. If you are, let's say, in one of these swap meet places where there's tens of thousands of items that are out there, we've got a big one out here in the Pacific Northwest, and you can go from table to table and people have stuff lined up, well, you might see something similar, and you'll be able to make a price comparison. So just have fun with it. Have fun with it. I know it's really a great thing to do with some friends if you want to make a day of it. Like I said, there are people that go out. This is their business. I know a lady that runs a consignment shop, and she's always looking for certain items because she has a particular customer niche, and she's always looking for certain items. So keep that in mind. This is the time when you can go out. You can just have just a marvelous time exploring. It's not expensive. And if you have a budget, just go with so much money, and then you'll be able to get what you want. But again, garage sales are really hot stuff. Now, quickly, I want to finish up the Zodiac horoscope for this year, for the summer. And I've got two left, Virgo and Pisces. And I wanted to share that with you before we go on to break. Now, for those of you under the sign of Virgo, and of course, this is going to be finishing up our Zodiac astrological horoscope for the summer. Now, you are going to find that history is going to be quite interesting to you. There may be an interest in your own family tree. There's just going to be an awareness of the past, and it's as if you want to educate yourself about the past. Why? Because you feel that it has something to do with where you are in the present, and you want to blend it together so you can move forward. You are going to be very active socially. You're going to find yourself engaging in the development of new friendships, new associations, and this is very good. You are going to find that by being frugal, also by paying attention to more efficient and effective ways for money investment, you are going to have a very healthy money positioning. This is going to be very important to you, and you also are going to find that the month of August is going to be very, very important for you. You're going to be able to take, if you're in business for yourself, you're going to find all your hard work is really going to be moving you forward in the month of August. Don't give up your dreams. You are going to be re-energized when the time comes at the end of July for you to start putting certain things into action. You're going to realize you can do it. You can have the success that you want. For those of you under the sign of Pisces, you are going to be extremely creative. Of course, this is a part of you. You really love being involved either in cooking or artistry of some kind or another. When it comes to money, you are going to need to decide what you need to focus on. Where is it that you want to put yourself so that you can keep those creative juices inside of you flowing the way that they should? Also, how is it that you can add more into your life that gives you a sense of fulfillment? Maybe you've got a job that you feel like a bumblebee could do, but that's not the issue. You need to know that your creative side needs nurturing, and this is the time for you to really go into the exploration of that. Also, you are going to find that money finds you. You are going to realize that just by a shifting in your thinking, you're going to be able to attract more money into your environment, perhaps maybe developing an online business, who knows. But you're going to discover that you're going to be open to having money flow into your life more fluidly. And then when it comes to exploration this year, you're going to find out about yourself. That's right. You're going to find out more about who you are and really what is most meaningful to you as an individual. And that is going to spur you in to a direction that will be quite surprising. Donna Sebo here. That finishes up the summer zodiac circle, and well, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino muscle snack time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino muscle snack time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or squatsponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding amino muscle snack time by visiting amazon.com or squatsponge.com. Visit amazon.com or squatsponge.com for more information.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got a wonderful story I want to share with you about how life has an amazing way of bringing things into completion, into full circle. And it's about a little girl and her horse. But before I do that, I don't know about you, but I have a sweet tooth periodically. And typically for the SIBO family, Sundays are the day when we really do something very, very different, where there is no rules when it comes to dietary food programs. Forget that. Sort of like a homemade Sunday brunch. And it's something we've enjoyed doing for years. And what I enjoy, I really have a sweet tooth at times. And I came across a fruit and cheese almond Danish. And I just thought, this is such an amazing recipe. And you can do this at home. It's so easy. You can adapt it in different ways if there's certain fruits that you like in preference with others. But I just think this is great, especially with all the delicious cherries and berries that are coming out. The blackberries, the blueberries. I mean, our blueberry bushes are beginning to show fruit, and it's just exciting because they are so delicious when they're freshly picked right off of the blueberry bush or blueberry tree. We have like little blueberry trees where we grow them. And this is something that, what depending on your taste, you can, like I said, you can adapt it. So this is how easy it is. You make it with a frozen puff pastry. And I wanted to share it with you today. You're going to need one package of frozen puff pastry. And you need to let it thaw. And that can be done in the refrigerator until you're ready to use it. Or if you want, you can leave it out at room temperature, as it'll thaw, obviously, a lot more quickly. You need 8 ounces of cream cheese, and that needs to be at room temperature. It needs to be soft. You need one egg. You need a quarter of a cup of confectionery sugar, and have some extra on the side. You need a teaspoon of freshly grated lemon zest. And the freshly grated really is important here because of the lemon oils. They are going to really make the taste pop. You need a half a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and you're going to need 1 cup of your favorite berries, blackberries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, or cherries. And I know cherries here in the Pacific Northwest, really, really big. And, oh, they're so good, so delicious. Your Queen Anne, your Rainier cherries, oh, they're wonderful. And you're going to need about a half of a cup of sliced almonds. Now, this is how simple this recipe is. You're going to preheat your oven to about 425 degrees. You want 2 baking sheets. You want to line them with parchment paper. And you want to unfold your pastry sheets that you have, your frozen puff pastry sheets, into single layers, and you want to put them on your working surface, and you want to cut each square into four squares. And then you take your pastry squares, you put them on your baking sheet. And then in a medium bowl, this is really simple, you whisk together your cream cheese, your egg, your quarter of a cup of sugar, your lemon zest and vanilla until it's silky smooth. Then you divide it among your pastry squares. That's about 2 tablespoons of the mixture in the center of each one of the pastry squares. And then you top your cheese mixture with about 3 or 4 berries. Maybe add a couple extra if you want. And then you cut a one-inch slit in the corner of each pastry square. And fold your pastry corners over the cheese so that just the center is exposed. Then you put your almonds over the top. And then you're going to bake these for 20 to 25 minutes until the pastry is golden browned and crispy. And then you sprinkle it with your remaining confectionery sugar. Oh, it's so pretty, and it is so good. Absolutely delicious. And you may want to have some extra strawberries on the side, or, you know, whatever your favorite berries are. And it is just delicious, and it is so pretty. So it's simple, it's easy, and something that you can really have, well, it's a no-stress type of a special pastry for that special time that you want to share with other people. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Brittany Wallace. This is a woman that had a horse called Scribbles. Don't you just love the name? That's right, Scribbles. Now, Scribbles had been her horse, and they were inseparable. Now, Brittany was a horsewoman. She was just born to be one. And Scribbles was the horse that she bonded with and where she learned how to ride. And of course, as you go through your equestrian training, and especially if you get into dressage and things like this, you're going to be changing horses because you are going to become better and better at what you do. Well, Scribbles obviously was not going to be the one that Brittany was going to end up being able to work with. And to her dismay, Brittany found that she was going to have to let Scribbles go. So they were trying to find a good home for this horse. And Brittany was just beside herself. She loved this horse so much. They were so bonded that she just didn't know what to do. Well, I think any youngsters had a feeling like that at one time or another. And Brittany, when they found a home for Scribble, she was visiting for a long, long time. Eventually, they got so that they weren't able to visit Scribble after a while. Well, Brittany was not very happy. In fact, she ended up developing anorexia because she was just so distressed, and her mother was beside herself. She just said, "You can't do this to yourself." Well, Brittany said, "I need to find Scribble." Well, when they went back to the people they had sold the horse to their shock, Scribbles had been sold to someone else. And that just threw Brittany into a fever of frenzy and concern. Well, there were some other things that happened with her. Oh, my goodness, I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to have to share this story with you tomorrow. I'm out of time. My goodness, the hour went by so quickly. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Won't you join me tomorrow to find out about an entrepreneur and how a mother influenced a son to develop something that not only made her life better, but is affecting the lives of thousands of people in a very positive way. Join me tomorrow right here on the Donna Sebo Show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day. And I'll tell you the rest tomorrow about Scribble, the very special horse. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.